thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Yep, that's one per show, by the way, or one half per hour. Hi, it's John. It's 2:07 on WGN. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We really appreciate you tuning in. We also very, very, very much appreciate your calls and your texts. 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200 if along the way you want to call or text. And by the way, Steve, while I was giving to our last guest, Paul Stokes from Angelica's Bakery, some good ideas about baked goods that they should initiate.
Yeah.
I suggested they come up with the John Williams braided butterscotch coffee cake, which is one of my favorites. And he said that he would take that under advisement.
Which means no way.
So somebody texted us and they said, hey, John, they still have your Java chocolate chip ice cream at Campanari's Ice Cream Shop in Mount Prospect. We checked online when we did a Hometown Voices tour.
I remember that.
And I said, this is my favorite, and they came up with a John Williams flavor there, which to this day is still on their menu.
That's exciting.
Here's my problem with that. It's no longer called John Williams Java Chocolate Chip. It's just Java chocolate chip.
Well, it doesn't count at all.
It does not.
No.
I frankly am thinking about getting the legal team involved in this. I'm not sure that they can even do that.
Because you are a contributor to that flavor.
Well, it's my flavor. And
it's not yours.
I believe it's theft. Nobody else had ever thought of a sort of Java chocolate chip before. Those are my two flavors. It was a sensational taste at Campanari's Ice Cream. So if you know them, the folks in Mount Prospect, tell them thank you for keeping it on the menu. They need to change the name to John Williams, or they'll be hearing from Tribune Legal. By the way, Tribune Legal, very busy these days, but still, I think they'll take up my case. One last note to all of you business owners out there. If you come up with the John Williams branded or named thing, I will personally promote it on the air. You put me on your menu, come up with a thing that has my name on it, and then I'll give you free publicity. I'm not sure that's legal on our end, but let's just go with that for the time being. So here's the story about Sheriff Arpaio. I mean, we've all been hearing a lot about this. In fact, Elif's going to play for us Donald Trump speaking about it here in just like 1.3 seconds. So Joe Arpaio, the Maricopa County Sheriff, a former Maricopa County Sheriff, has been a cause celeb for a while, that we need to be tough on crime. And he was America's toughest sheriff until he didn't win re-election and then found himself afoul of the law. And he's been convicted, not yet sentenced. That's still to come. The president could before or after pardon him. About that, at a rally in Phoenix the other day, the president said,
was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what he should have had a jury. But you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine. OK, but I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy. Is that okay?
Another day in the land of bizarre from the president, but let's talk to Megan Cassidy now, who is a reporter with the Arizona Republic. Megan, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking our call. What was the reaction where you were, or what was your personal reaction when the president said that the other night?
Well, actually, I was outside. So I was outside reporting on the protests. And so I actually was not inside when he said that, but I started getting a bunch of news alerts on my phone. And, I guess it wasn't particularly surprising. There's been speculation about a pardon for a while, particularly in the week leading up to this. Trump said himself in a Fox News interview that he was seriously considering it.
Yeah.
And then days later confirmed that he was going to be in Phoenix. So that really whipped up a lot of speculation that it was going to happen at the time.
I want to talk about that, but just one other note before we go any further, and that is the president said that he had heard from the Secret Service that there wasn't a very big crowd protesting outside, but the pictures I saw made it look like there were. Would you describe the unrest or the crowd or whatever it is that you saw outside the arena?
Oh, it was huge. Yeah. I mean, it was filling up blocks. I mean, police had to set up several barricades around the Phoenix Convention Center to just really kind of keep the pro-Trump supporters and the protesters away from each other. But Phoenix police, I think, estimated tens of thousands.
So in my world, that's a big crowd of protesters. I guess.
Yes, but it is in my world as well.
And maybe with divided loyalties. Maybe some of them were there to, were for the president. Maybe some were not. So tell us who Joe Arpaio is. Can you just sort of give us the backstory on him a little bit?
Sure. He is the longest running sheriff in Maricopa County. He's 85 years old now. He was ousted in his seventh bid for sheriff. That was this past November. But he became just kind of a Republican darling for his tough on crime stance. And then later in his career, towards the mid-2000s and in little after 2010, for his immigration crackdowns, illegal immigration crackdowns. And so there's several ways that he had his deputies try to target illegal immigrants, which was during with workplace raids. They would target very heavily Hispanic communities, and then during traffic patrols with these pretextual stops. And so eventually, though, he started getting into legal trouble.
You said pretextual stops? What is that?
Pretextual stops, yeah. So, like, an officer will see somebody, you know, who may or may not have, gotten into another lane without turning the blinker on or something along those lines. You know, very small law-breaking. As the pretext to pull somebody over when they're really the intent is something else.
Did they call it racial profiling?
They did not. No, but the ACLU did, and several defendants did. There was a class action lawsuit that was filed against the office beginning in 2007, among many lawsuits. This is kind of the meat and potatoes one, and because of this suit, a judge did find that. The sheriff's office had illegally targeted Latinos during their immigration crackdowns and ordered sweeping and very, very expensive reforms on the office.
Okay, so they were doing that, and then yeah. A judge found that that was in violation of the law. Is that what you're saying?
So so that's the whole lawsuit. That's the civil suit. Where Arpaio ended up getting in personal trouble was when a judge said you either have to arrest or release. Basically, you can't take somebody into custody or detain anyone just because you believe that they're in the country illegally. It has to be a crime. So the judge ordered this in 2011 before he even found that the office had racially profiled. In 2011, he said, you know what, you need to stop doing this and then we'll go to trial. But for 17 months thereafter, his deputies did still continue their illegal immigration enforcement tactics. They would pick people up that believed were in the country illegally, turn them over to either Immigration Customs Enforcement or to Border Patrol. So that was against the court order. That is what Arpaio has now been convicted of, is criminal contempt of court because he ignored the judge's order.
Sounds a lot like what we're dealing with in Chicago and other cities where they declare themselves sanctuary cities. And the point is, we're not going to do ICE's work. We're not a federal agency. We're local county sheriff's deputies or police officers. And not only are we not going to hold them beyond how long we're supposed to hold them, but we're not going to go looking for them. It sounds like it was the exact opposite in Phoenix.
Yes, it actually was. And it was bolstered by SB 1070. There was a very controversial law that was bill that was passed in, several years ago. And they called Arpaio the tip of the spear on that. He was the one that would go and enforce these immigration laws the way that the lawmakers, who were also intended to be tough on immigration, the way they were intended.
Okay, so he's in violation of this court order then. It's interesting, did they prosecute any of his sheriff's deputies? They were the ones actually doing the stops, right?
None of the deputies, because it was kind of understood that these were at Arpaio's orders. I mean, he would get on TV and really boast that he was going after illegal immigrants, and that's the way that it was, and that. And that nobody was going to tell him not to.
Yeah.
So I think that it was understood by really everybody involved in both the civil and the criminal cases that the orders came from the top. And then later in the trial, some of the deputies and some of the ranking officials would say that I thought that maybe what we were doing was wrong, but these are my orders, so we continue doing it.
And I suppose this doesn't matter, but maybe in some of those instances they did round up illegal aliens. But I suppose it's also possible.
For sure they did.
But they probably also detained unnecessarily or illegally.
That's
U.S.
That's
citizens.
Where the lawsuit actually, yeah, that's where the lawsuit came from. There were four, I believe, in the initial suit. I think one, there was somebody who was vacationing here, others who had visas, who maybe weren't American citizens, but they had the legal right to be here.
Right, right. So then they get detained. Okay, so he continues to thumb his nose. So then he's found guilty, but he's not been sentenced yet, right?
No, that is coming on October 5th, short of a pardon, which we're all kind of expecting at this point.
Really? You mentioned that it was expensive for the county. How so? I mean, I suppose lawsuits sometimes require attorneys, and that means that the meter's running. But you mentioned to me off the air $70 million to Maricopa County.
We are just scraping $70 million right now over a 10-year period.
How does it come to that?
A lot of it's legal fees. That's where it started. The legal fees really started piling up by 2013. But what really, really did us in was after the judge ordered that reforms be made to the office. And so that required a quarter-appointed monitor, a lot more technology, more training for the officers to make sure that they weren't doing any more discriminatory policing, and then really just kind of shuffling around people. And like so – a lot of the money that taxpayers are spending at this point is for full-time employees who have to spend all of their jobs at the sheriff's office making sure that the sheriff's office gets into compliance.
Wow. Well, were there settlements to some of the aggrieved?
At this point, they're working on that. The initial lawsuit did not ask for any money. It just really asked for a judge to order a change in policies. But after the judge, criminal contempt case that I was talking about, after the judge ordered him to stop detaining illegal immigrants, and he kept doing that, and then won the criminal or the civil end of the contempt case. Those victims now are entitled to some of a compensation pool. So we're still kind of ironing out the details on how much they're going to be getting. But yeah, those 170 odd victims of illegal detention are entitled to some sort of a settlement eventually.
Well, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this, Megan, but it would seem to me like that could be even more expensive than $70 million. That strikes me as the sort of thing that a jury or a judge would say, we're going to punish the county. Too bad for the county because it was one man's.
No, they're really not. It would seem like that. But the settlements from what I've seen with the initial paperwork are very small. Only
really?
A couple thousand.
Really? I would say, see, here's what because it would seem to me like, well, then what the hell? Maybe the next county is going to be just as discriminatory because the penalty isn't that great, and the upside is that the tough sheriff gets to be reelected, or the citizens feel better about the sort of policing that the sheriff's deputies are doing, even if it's illegal. If you don't make them pay a price, then I don't know how you motivate them to do right, you know?
Right, right. Well, you know, I think that there is still another option for victims to take. This, if they do take this settlement, then they don't get to sue further. If they decide they want to sue on their own, they can do that as well.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is something to be said about the $70 million that's just been piling on over these past few years, because there are a lot of people here in Phoenix who have made the argument that that was the reason that Arpaio was ousted from office, because Trump won here by handily, and Arpaio lost. And given the fact that they both just kind of had the same platform, we were guessing that it was the fiscal conservatives that got him out of office but elected Trump in this county.
Megan Cassidy's on the line, reporter at the Arizona Republic in Phoenix. Well, how do the people? The president, when he talked about Arpaio at that rally, everybody was cheering. You got the sense that Arizonans are on Arpaio's side. Can you help me with that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it really depends on who you ask. There was a poll that was taken that actually showed that about 50% of Arizonans do not want Arpaio to be pardoned, versus about 20% who do, and then the remaining people don't really have an opinion on it. But the people who were inside Trump's rally are Trump supporters. And if you're a Trump supporter, there's a very good chance that you're also an Arpaio supporter. Arpaio and Trump have a very warm relationship. Arpaio was one of his most vocal advocates during the campaign. And if you're tough on, if you, you like your politicians to be tough on immigration, chances are you'll like both of them. But, you know, what the cameras didn't show was the tens of thousands of protesters outside who had several picketing signs that had Arpaio along with Trump on there. There are people here, you know, mostly on the left, that see Arpaio as the face of racism in Arizona.
I don't understand your politics in your state. It would seem to me a delicate proposition because there's so many Mexican Americans or Hispanic Americans in Arizona that if you run on that kind of platform, one audience might support that, but in general, I think that would be difficult to win then.
You would think so, but the Hispanic communities have really had a hard time galvanizing voters. It seems like every election, there's somebody that says, this is the time, this is the time, this is the time that they're all going to show up. And we just really haven't seen these massive waves of Hispanic voters that people have predicted in the past.
Okay, so October 5th, we'll find out. You know, maybe the president is waiting because if he, while convicted, is sentenced to not go to jail, I mean, that's possible, right? Mm-hmm. Then maybe there's no need to pardon him.
Yeah, I've wondered that myself. But, you know, I've also wondered if the pardon is just on principle.
Right, pardon me the way.
John, while the two of you were talking, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about this at the White House briefing, which is being broadcast today, and she said that they're still going through the process, and that once more is known, they will let you know. Now, I know that's not much of an answer, but she just was asked about the latest of it today, and that's what she said.
Well, the talking points go like this, don't they? What my understanding is, what they're drafting up is language that says, given his 50 years of service to this country, his military background, and obviously he's served the citizens of the county as the sheriff, that we've, you know, blah blah blah. I mean, they're going to build him up as the victim himself, or at least as the great public servant.
Right. And, well, and that's been his a lot of his legal defense.
Poor
as
guy.
Well.
Yeah. Anything else?
And he's 85 years old.
Yeah. That's part of, I guess, the consideration. Megan, anything else we should know before I let you go then?
I think you've had some good questions. I think we've covered it.
Yeah. All right. So October 5th or sooner. We'll continue to follow Joe Arpaio's story. Hey, Megan, it's nice to talk to you. I'm going to call you again. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.